Oh, man, bring on the fresh meat, baby.
Oh, are we excited to be Phil again? As you heard, I am Mike Parsons. You might know me from such shows as the Guy Gordon Show. That man over there, if God and butter mesh their voices, you would get Rich Luzinski. You know him.
Oh, too kind.
From the traffic reports and multiple commercials. And then there's Dave. You know him from the great Michigan weekend and multiple shows. And, of course, on the ones and twos. Now,
thank you,
Blake,
for the nice intro. Thank
yes, you're
you.
Very
thank
welcome. You. Blake, you're supposed to be on vacation right now, right? And we dragged you in?
Yeah.
Thank
this
you.
This is the best kind of vacation. This mic is all messed up.
Yeah.
This is a great start to the show, guys.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, go ahead. You know
Dave,
what?
Why'd you sabotage his mic?
I'm off the board today. That's your responsibility. But I got some good news for you, Blake. You have taken over as the board op of the Mitch Albom Show. Mm. They still call you Blake the intern. Today, I am promoting you to Blake the grown-up man.
Wow.
I don't know if I have that kind of jurisdiction.
Wow.
But what
we'll
the heck.
We'll get Mitch on the horn and we'll see if it's okay.
Yeah, get him up on the horn there. See what he's up to anyway. He's at home washing his tights.
Well, we thank Mitch and the crew and everyone for letting us fill in. And this is one of the most underrated weeks of the whole year. The week
my goodness, between, sure.
The week between Christmas and New Year. You got a whole bunch of gift cards burning a hole in your pocket. You have a whole bunch of money from returns burning a hole in your pocket. You can go to Chili's and Applebee's and live like a king with all those gift cards.
Oh, yeah.
But
how was Christmas for you guys?
It was nice. And you know what? We're going to talk about that coming up at 5:18. I got a question for all of our listeners. But I also know this week, it's hard to know what day it is unless you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the first show, live show, since Christmas Eve. So maybe we should check out the headlines and then catch people up.
Check out the headlines a little there, Michael.
On what they've missed this week.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Richard. Start us off.
More than 1,200 U.S. flights were canceled, and more than 5,000 were delayed Sunday, according to FlightAware. Globally, there were over 2,000 cancellations. Delta and JetBlue each saw over 100 cancellations Sunday. Globally, airlines canceled more than 6,000 flights on Christmas Eve, Christmas and the day after Christmas, according to FlightAware. That includes about 1,700 flights into or out of the United States.
Jeez.
What a nightmare.
Ooh, I would not want to be on any of those tarmacs, I tell you.
Now, this has been all the news since Christmas Eve, and I posted something on my socials that I think inspired a lot of people. I said, with all these flight cancellations trapping busy, career-minded people in their hometowns, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of real-life Hallmark movie scenarios playing out right now. You know, you got the big city banker who has to go back to his hometown to take care of some business, and he falls in love with the local director of the Christmas pageant. All these things are happening right now.
Wasn't there a Tom Hanks movie that he was stuck in an
the
airport?
The Terminal!
Yes.
Yes, The Terminal. Yeah. Although you were thinking of The Money Pit. But yes, The Terminal is the movie.
I hear they're companion pieces.
He falls in that floor. I love that.
You know, I think we're kind
of stuck in the carpet.
Of course, all these flights have been delayed, as you said, Richard, or canceled because people are calling in with Omicron. And
yes.
The latest numbers we have from FlightAware.com says total delays today, 11,545 to add to your total.
Ooh.
Total delays into or out of the United States, 4,800. 2,800 cancellations. And, that's it. Those are international and national. And I think we're kind of at a tipping point here
mm-hmm.
where it seems like, you know, with all this testing going on and the Omicron variant, which so far seems like it's a little more mild, I think that we're already seeing these companies like the NFL and other entities no longer testing people unless they're symptomatic. Because, the numbers seem like they're out of control. And it's almost going to be to this point where we can't continue, lockdowns or not.
So what are my odds? I'm supposed to fly out second week in January.
Oh, you're screwed. You're not doing that.
Is that trip not
you're
happening?
You're not doing that. No.
Second week of January? I don't know.
Because I hate to tell you. That's not happening.
Because here's the thing. Reports out of South Africa says that Omicron is kind of on the downslope. So I don't know.
Why are you going to South Africa, Dave?
I'm not going to South Africa. I never said I was going to South Africa.
Oh. I'd like to see you go to South Africa, though. That'd be something. It'd be like one of those old Bob Hope movies. Dave and Richard might go to South Africa. That'd be something, huh?
Maybe a Christmas special next year.
Oh,
maybe
one of the Hallmark Christmas specials. There you go.
Attorneys for five defendants in the alleged plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer are asking the indictments be dropped because the five men are claiming that it was the FBI, the undercover FBI agents, who were egging on the whole thing.
Egging on.
Yeah, well, this is from the Detroit News. Oh, click on Detroit. Detroit News has it as well. On December 25th, a motion was filed on behalf of the five defendants requesting the indictment against the men be dismissed due to government overreach and misconduct. The attorneys argued Saturday that paid undercover FBI informants who assisted with the case were actually the ones suggesting and encouraging kidnapping the governor and not those charged. And, of course, it is illegal for informants and agents to plan and encourage criminal activity, even as an investigation. And the five defendants face up to life in prison if convicted. This story is just getting weirder and weirder.
Certainly is.
I mean, it already started off weird because the plan was to kidnap Governor Whitmer. Alleged plan was to kidnap Governor Whitmer and like, have their own tribunal for crying.
Yeah. Didn't they want to put her out in a rowboat or something?
Something like that.
In the Great Lakes?
Yeah. And then the head FBI investigator, he was kicked off the case because he was facing domestic violence charges after him and his wife got home from a swingers party and were arguing. So this case is just getting weirder and weirder. And this might be occupying a lot of our headlines once the new year starts.
I'm sure it will be. I think that, I agree with you. It's just the story is just getting more and more just crazy.
I didn't know about that swingers party. That's something.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more about that.
You know, it's got all the makings of either
a Hallmark movie.
I was going to say not Hallmark, a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, more of a, yeah, you're right, it's more of a Lifetime brand.
The delineation between Hallmark and Lifetime is Hallmark's more uplifting. Lifetime, if the man is handsome and nice in the beginning of the movie, he's definitely the killer.
Right.
Or this would be like a really interesting true crime podcast once everything shakes out.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, this story is a little weird, too. The Detroit Animal Shelter took in almost 500 parakeets last week, and they said that they took in a few hundred more Sunday morning. Apparently, the son of an animal hoarder had called to say he was coming in to surrender between 60 and 80 parakeets.
Wow.
When in reality, he had like almost 350 parakeets.
Oh, my God.
And apparently,
kind of undersold that a bit.
His father wanted to breed these birds.
Hmm.
And they started breeding too fast, leading to the situation getting quickly
happens.
Out of control.
Wow. That's a swingers party, maybe. That's what was doing it.
I have learned way more about parakeet breeding in this segment than I ever cared to know.
And
kind of got away from them there.
Well, you had that lady from Home Alone 2 up on the horn, you know, who had all those birds
on. Oh, right.
Yeah. Remember her?
You know, one time when my wife and I were looking for houses, we were looking at this really nice house, and in the basement there was this secret room.
Ooh.
And when we opened it, there was just, like, all the walls were just lined with fish tanks full of minnows.
Whoa.
And my guess is that they bred minnows, but it freaked my wife out so much we left the house immediately.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, here's the good part of this story.
A little fishy.
After the birds quarantine for 30 days, we do not know why they have to quarantine for 30 days.
The birds are quarantining?
The birds are quarantining for 30 days.
Parakeets, those parakeets aren't going to last 30 days. You ever buy one from, like, the store?
Adoptions will begin on January 23rd. So if anybody wants to adopt these parakeets that were brought in from a very unhealthy situation, after 30 days of quarantine, which we don't know why they have to quarantine for 30 days, they will be available for adoption.
Nothing bums me out more than an animal hoarding situation. I mean, I know they're parakeets, so they're not as cute and cuddly as dogs and cats, but they still don't deserve that.
I agree.
Yeah. And real quick before we go to break, This is what Guy Gordon would call a procedural story, but okay. I think it's worth noting. From the Detroit News, multiple Michigan Republicans have been contacted by the U.S. January 6th Commission. They don't say which six Republican officials. It's six officials in Michigan. Three of them are Republicans, but they will be beckoned by the January 6th committee. And, you know, my guess is that anyone who had any contact with former President Donald Trump is going to be contacted by the committee. So just because they have been summoned doesn't necessarily mean they had anything to do with it.
Was beckoned your word choice, or was it in the article?
No. That's my $5 word for the day, I suppose.
I really like that you used beckoned.
Perhaps summoned.
Ooh.
Yeah. After the break, we want to talk to you out there. 877-44-MITCH. 877-44-MITCH. I want to know if COVID changed, altered, or ruined your Christmas plans. It's Mike Parsons, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, Blake, how the hell do we say your last name?
It's Mattress Stack.
Mattrazak.
I'm going to mess that
Radio
up all
Shack.
Day.
I prefer Audio Czar.
Mattrazak.
The Prodigy.
I can do that.
On News Talk 760 WJR. All right, and we're going to need your help out there. 877-44-MITCH, 877-44-MITCH. And if not, I guess we'll just talk amongst ourselves. But, you know, there was a lot of hoopla leading up to Christmas about how COVID could change, alter, or ruin people's Christmas plans. Obviously, we heard in Richard's news last segment about all the flight cancellations. And me personally, I had loved ones who could not come to visit because they were exposed or diagnosed with COVID. But I would actually submit that COVID wreaked more havoc with the 2021 holiday season than the 2020 holiday season. Because back in 2020, we were all kind of resigned to restrictions. We were resigned to smaller gatherings. And I think we all kind of made the deal with ourselves that, okay, let's power through this 2020 holiday season. Let's make sure that we nip this in the bud, and then 2021 things will get back to quote unquote normal, whatever normal is, and we're going to turn up. And that did not seem to be what happened this year.
I also think you had a lot of interest in the vaccine. It was right on the horizon there, and I think that was fueling people to get more in the mood of being a little more relaxed, less anxiety because of that.
Well, it's a great point, Rich, because I think a lot of people made the mistake, myself included, of thinking that this pandemic was going to be a straight line, right? Like, we started down here and things were just going to get incrementally better. And it looked like it was going that way. As you said, Rich, in the spring, people started getting vaccinated. We had a mostly maskless summer. The fall. The weird thing about fall is that was the only season that felt normal to me in 2020, and it continued along in 2021. We cruised right into Thanksgiving. Looks like we're going right back to a holly jolly Christmas time, and then boom, Omicron.
Omicron.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I think that Omicron played a big part in derailing a lot of plans for Christmas and moving forward probably for the new year, too.
Well, and I think that the reason we thought things were going to go in a straight line, we knew nothing of new variants coming. We knew nothing about breakthrough infections. We knew nothing about immunity that wears off in 2 to 6 months. And we're in somewhat better shape right now, December 27, 2021, than we were in 2020, but not as good of a shape as we thought we would be in.
Yeah.
And so instead of this thing being a straight line, it's more of a zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
So 877-44-MITCH, 877-44-MITCH. Did COVID change, alter, or ruin your Christmas plans? Let's go to Greg in Shelby Township. Greg, you're on the Mitch Albom Show.
Good evening, you guys. Mr. Positive here in the house.
Mr. Positive, Merry Christmas. What's up?
Merry Christmas, everybody. No, because I had the surgery, and I'm going in the right direction, you guys, I stayed home with my mom. All we've done is stay recluse. We haven't really gone out. We're eating. It definitely altered everything. But everyone is canceling everything. No one is having parties. Everybody that I know, all friends and relatives, everyone's gotten sick. Everyone has canceled everything. And it's just a very devastating year, like you said, Michael. It's been a very bad year. And to everybody out there, you got to go for your dreams. Take it from me, because I've been to heck and back, and there's no such thing as an encore. So please go for your dreams. And thanks for taking my call, you guys.
All
Love
right,
you
Greg.
All.
Well, you know what? In a weird way, maybe that surgery might have saved you some grief.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, sorry you had to go through, and we wish you a speedy recovery.
Certainly.
But, you know, if you had to be quarantined anyway, away from other people, that might have kept you from being exposed. Let's go to John. John, you're on the Mitch Albom Show, 877-44-MITCH.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm in Detroit. Here, this is actually from a movie. I don't know if anybody will know this. It says, the All-Father wove the skein of your life a long time ago. Go and hide in a hole if you wish, but you won't live one instant longer. Fear profits a man nothing. My attitude as somebody who is suffering from chronic illness every day of my life is, I don't have time to add more to that. So I've been to family gatherings. We had Thanksgiving with a family and the kids, and people who have been there with COVID, that they had COVID and they've recovered already. I haven't got a shot. I haven't had a vaccine. I never wear masks. I don't sanitize or anything. And I've gone out since before this lockdown happened. And, I mean, go to stores, international markets, everywhere. I don't know. Am I lucky? Or, like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
I'm not doing it. So
I got a good guardian angel there. I'd
yeah.
You're not worried about your compromised, you know.
Immune system?
Yeah. You're not worried about that?
Time job. I'm not adding to it. No, that's my attitude.
Understood.
I guess that's, you know what, just like you guys said, maybe it's guardian angel, maybe it's God. I guess I'm not necessarily Mr. Religious guy, but I definitely believe in, like, God as my higher power. And I believe if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. And I just kind of think, and I'm like, well, what would happen if, when it was just the flu or pneumonia, the media covered it as much as they do now? I don't know. It just seems sometimes like it's a little bit 24/7 in your face, you know?
Well, John, thanks for calling in. And look, I mean, full disclosure, I'm going to say it. I'm pro-vaccine. You know, I got the booster as soon as I could. You know, to get the vaccine is your choice. I wish you would get it, but, you know, everyone's got their reasons for not doing it. Best of luck, John, and stay healthy out there. Let's go to David here. Oh, Dave, I'm sorry. We got 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just I was listening to some of the commentary, and just real quick, I don't think that this has anything to do with a virus where 99.97% recover. I don't think this has anything to do with Omicron. When you mix up the letters, it spells moronic, which I think is ironic. I think it has everything to do with an interventionist government. Government's the ones that locked us down, forced our kids to wear masks when kids weren't getting sick, and make them stay home and drive them nuts. Government was the one that intervened and did all of this stuff that drove everybody to, you know, hate each other and divide each other by vax or unvax. No different than black and white, clean and unclean.
Gotcha, Dave. Dave, you're a poet. You didn't even know. Yeah, and I mean, that's why a lot of people are against the vaccine. I don't necessarily disagree. I don't necessarily agree, but that's a great thing about talk radio. We can disagree and discuss it. We'll
open
be back.
Forum. Happy to be here filling in for Mitch Albom this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us and coming aboard the SS Albom with the fill-in hosts here.
Anchors away!
We're going to go to Joe, who's on the phone line, our topic right now. Did COVID ruin or change your holiday plans? Joe, what say you?
So we actually did a pretty good idea, because it's so divided right now. Before our Christmas festivities, we gave everyone a at-home COVID test, and we ended up having one person who tested positive, but at least there wasn't the bickering over whether or not COVID was real, whether or not the vaccine worked.
I think something terrible happened to Joe.
Joe, are you all right? Joe.
That's all right. Well, I mean, being able to get multiple COVID at-home tests this time of year with the shortage, that's a Christmas miracle within itself.
You know, that's actually what we did in our household.
Really?
We got all the nieces and nephews, everybody in their own household, a couple of hours before coming over, all took COVID tests, and thank goodness they were all negative. Mm-hmm. But actually, it was kind of fun. We were going back and forth with the pictures of the negative tests in text message
chasing
form.
Each other around with your little swab. You know, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
I think if anybody is questioning whether or not the reporting of COVID is real, whether or not the numbers are real, this tweet that just came out from Adam Schefter is insane. He says, last year, from the start of the regular season through the Super Bowl, there were 262 player positives. There already have been more than 400 player positives just for the month
Holy
of December
smokes.
Alone.
They got to stop using the same shower room.
So, right, that would help.
I mean, yeah, that tells the whole story
right
there.
It's the steam. I mean, it carries the droplets.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. But that's why they stopped testing people unless they're symptomatic, because they can't carry on or continue business.
That's a ridiculous stat.
Rich, there's something else you want our listeners' help on.
Yes, I certainly do. Listen, folks, I love junk food. I have an emotional attachment to food, and I know I'm not the only one out there. I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that because it's the truth. My dopamine levels skyrocket when I have fast food. I love the way McDonald's makes me feel. I love the sweet, seductive fizz of their Coke, the salty crunch of their fries, and the unique flavor of their ketchup, which I know you're a big fan of.
This
there,
segment's
Michael.
Actually brought to you by McDonald's.
Now, I have some blood work done a few months back, and my triglycerides were almost 500. Now, like, 500 is where they stop counting.
Where? So, like, you broke the scale.
I did, basically. I was 467. So I got a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah,
there.
Something to aim for next time.
But they're supposed to be less than 150 milligrams.
Holy!
Yeah. Anything above 200 is considered high.
Oh, my God.
Mine are more than twice that, so I have to make some lifestyle changes.
You're
otherwise
a thin guy, too.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. But the possibility of me having a stroke or a heart attack is certainly more likely.
Yeah, we
I wanted to know
that.
If there's folks out there who have had a similar situation. What did you have to give up? What was it? What was your vice, food-wise, that you had to make an executive decision and put the kibosh on it, or else you would die? I know you folks have encountered something like that. 1-877-44-MITCH, 1-877-44-MITCH, if you have something like that, if you have a similar story. Mike, I know you had to give up dairy.
Yeah, it was actually quite easy because you know, I all throughout my teenage years, I delivered pizzas, and I could literally eat pizza every day, and I did.
I remember that.
And I was a king.
You smelled like pizza, too.
And the world was my oyster, thank you. It's better than what I smell like now. And I think my body just said, that's enough dairy until you're dead, because I really thought something was wrong with me. I mean,
I remember.
I would just get these stabbing pains. I thought... maybe I had something fatal, or I had Crohn's or something, and went to the doctor, and they said, "Well, can't figure out what it is. You're just gonna have to pay attention to what you eat and what makes you feel like dying."
I'm like, "You did that through troubleshooting."
I did, and it turned out that it was some dairy, not all dairy.
Okay,
you know, cheese, ice cream, just regular milk, and the way I was able to give it up was because when I ate it, it made me feel like I was dying.
Yeah,
so
that was a pretty good catalyst to make you stop doing
it. My body had a little, like, internal taser that would say, don't eat that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat that. But, man, sometimes I feel like risking it all, putting all my vacation days together and just going crazy on a Jets pizza with ranch and just, like, deal with the consequences for the next month.
That's right. You were big on the ranch. I remember that.
That's probably another reason my body doesn't digest dairy anymore.
It's different with smoking and drinking because food is essential for life.
Right.
It's part of
you
your
can justify
daily life.
It.
Right. You have to eat. And when it becomes something like that and you derive such pleasure off of something that you have to do every day, and then all of a sudden this habit, something that you've come to love and something that changes your whole feeling during the day suddenly goes away. I just wonder how people deal with that. I'm having such a tough time. Right now, I would love to crack open a Coke and just chug it.
Right. It's very seductive. 877-44-MITCH, 877-44-MITCH, whether it was drinking, whether it was smoking, whether it's any... It didn't even have to be necessarily a diagnosed addiction, just something that you were dependent on, that you were able to break the habit.
And did you stop cold turkey? Like, what did you do? Did you have to work yourself up, wean yourself off, so to speak?
Yeah. Which, I don't. I mean, look, they make a patch for cigarettes, but they don't make a patch for junk food.
You're exactly right.
And I think that... You know, because like you said, Rich, it's your body rewarding yourself
right.
with the happiness chemical. And,
right.
and I know that I fall into this trap a lot. I'm out running an errand and I do one thing I'm supposed to do. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to go reward myself with a 20 ounce and a hot dog from 7-Eleven.
I do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I do the exact same thing. And I know obviously everyone doesn't suffer that, but I know there's got to be people out there who have that special moment during their day where they have a love affair with food.
877-44-MITCH. Please, somebody save my Richard's life. we got John. John, well, you're on the
John.
Mitch Albom Show.
Thanks for calling, John.
Hey there. How are we doing today?
Great, John. We're having a blast.
What's up, John?
Well, look, I've been listening to your show here, and I'm kind of dealing with the same issues, super high on the low LDL cholesterol.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking for some HDL, and they've got me on Lipitor. But basically, I've been cutting back on the eggs and the cheeses, and you know, just reducing my red meat content. And you know, my levels have gone way down.
Oh, right? Good, excellent.
So it can be done. And so, what is it? Just willpower, John, or do you have like a trick
yeah,
that could help?
How do you kill that voice in your head that says, eat this, you're going to love it?
I mean, egg whites in lieu of standard omelets. I just try not to eat, you know, like maybe once a week I'll do, you know, eggs and bacon instead of like every
cheat
other day.
Right.
Okay, so you do have a cheat day. That's great.
I mean, I don't cut it entirely because what fun would that be?
Right.
Right. John, thank you for the phone call and for the
that.
Advice. Yeah, it sounds like maybe some substitutions. I remember, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I remember one year I said to myself, okay, I'm not going to eat healthier. I'm just going to force myself to eat a certain amount of healthy food a day.
Ah.
And then hopefully I'd be full.
You're going to augment your daily diet with more fruits and vegetables.
And I was doing okay, but that was the year we got COVID. And obviously that was the universe saying that it wants me to eat McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take a break. It's the Mitch Albom Show with Mike, Rich, and Dave here on WJR. I need to apologize to Blake, the grown-up man here, who has come in so graciously on his vacation to run the board for us.
My goodness.
Last segment, we were trying to help Richard lower his triglycerides, wean him off fast food, and we were wondering if anyone out there had any hints on breaking something that they're dependent on. And Blake was grinding so hard, multitasking, answering the phones, that he had a comment that could change Richard's life, and we just glossed right over it. So
go
ahead, Blake.
It could. Probably
lay
not,
it
but
on
it
me,
could.
My man.
So when I got engaged, you know, 4 or 6 months ago, I decided that I also needed to make some changes.
Because
I was pushing, like, 310 pounds.
Really?
And I was like, this
you
is not
look
a good
it.
Look.
It's all muscle.
Well,
yeah.
I started working out, going to the gym, and I changed my eating habits. And I didn't make, like, a drastic change eating-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I just decided I'm just going to cut out fast food for the most part, because obviously with the schedule, all of us working on radio, we know how hard it is to...
Sure.
But that's all I did. I just was like, I got to start working out. I work out twice a week, so it's not like
good
anything
for you.
Crazy. And then just, you know, trying to be conscious of what I'm eating. Not necessarily changing everything, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just had to kind of ballpark it, looking at Rich, do you think you could beat him in an arm wrestling contest now since you've gone
how
to the gym?
How much can you bench press?
I have horrible shoulders. I've had shoulder surgery on my right one,
all right,
and I need it on the left. So I would say no.
So I know your kryptonite.
Yes. Use your forearm. Stop making excuses.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've lost, since that point, it was late July, I've lost, I think, 30 pounds.
Wow.
I was at 310.
Nice. Hit that applause for yourself, Blake, the grown-up man.
Oh, now I'm at around 272.
Holy cow. Good for you, Blake.
Congratulations.
That's terrific.
Blake in there. Always bringing the creativity and inspiration is what I was
fabulous.
Looking for.
He's fabulous.
Yeah. I guess it's not creative. A lot of people go to the gym and lose weight. So the inspiration, I should say.
He's an invaluable part to the team.
Yes. So,
and to my weight loss journey.
Right. And so this time next year, we hope Rich's triglycerides are around 410. Small. Small improvements.
Yeah.
Have you gotten updated numbers since you have?
No, I go January
4th. Okay. Yeah. So January 4th, when you go, then we'll have updated numbers on if what you've been doing has been working.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll keep you posted.
Fantastic. Okay. In the meantime, Dave scours the internet for some stories that we might have missed in the headlines. So, Dave, the floor is yours.
Appreciate that. One thing I do want to say to Rich is someone who has had a little bit of experience with having to lose weight, you don't want to go cold turkey.
Oh.
So you do want to give yourself a change that is
manageable.
Know, maybe, yeah, maybe it because
emotionally.
If you go cold turkey, you'll fall back off the wagon. Mm. And it'll work for a little while. And then you will crash. So
from the text line, tonight you three are helping me break my addiction to talk radio, so thank you.
Who's that from? Let me guess. I'll take one guess.
All I'm going to say is nobody listen at all talk with Tom, Jordan, and Kevin.
Exactly.
Only listen when Tom's talking,
exactly.
Not when Kevin's talking.
It's got to be Kevin Dietz.
What people don't know is that Kevin is great at roasting Dave.
Oh, man.
All right, Dave. What kind of weird stuff do you got for us today?
I don't know how many people caught this story from last week, but so Wheel of Fortune had a contestant on that made it to the bonus round. I think it was Tuesday night's episode. And while she correctly did answer the puzzle, there was a little bit of controversy. And I think Blake has the audio, so you can hear what happened.
What are you doing is the category. You have 10 seconds to try to talk it out.
Right.
Good luck.
Choosing the right card.
No.
Choosing the right...
Getting there.
Word.
You know, this one's tough because you said all the right words, including the word, but as you know, it's got to be more or less continuous. We'll allow for a little pause, but not 4 or 5 seconds. I'm sorry, did a good job of getting it, but we can't give you the prize, and it was the Audi.
Oh,
man.
We could have snuck like a little 5-second sponsor.
We could have.
Okay.
Pause.
Hey, Blake, let's try that. Why don't you play that again in that little pause? See if you can get like you're listening to the Mitch Albom show.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. A little
what
production.
Are you doing is the category.
Okay.
You have 10 seconds to try to talk it out. Good luck.
Choosing the right card.
No.
Choosing the right.
Hit it.
You know the Lions won again.
You know, this one's tough because you said all the right words, including the word, but as you know, it's got to be more or less continuous. We'll allow for a little pause, but not 4 or 5 seconds. I'm sorry, did a good job in getting it, but we can't give you the prize, and it was the Audi.
Oh,
man.
You know, sometimes things work out better in your head than in practice.
Sure.
I have multiple problems with this story.
Well, she said the right thing.
Number one...
She paused for 3 seconds.
She got the answer before the buzzer.
I love seeing you so exercised.
That was the first thing.
Dave wakes up.
The second thing is Pat Sajak seemed real disappointed that she lost.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so sorry.
You know what,
look, it was the Audi.
You know what? Right. That's the cruelest thing about these talk shows. Let's show you what you could have won.
Right.
I mean, okay, and she handled it. Okay, I would have gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe she did and it was edited out, but she seemed very calm. But so social media went nuts.
As they should.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
sick the mob on Sajak until justice has been served.
So just a follow up on the story. So guess what? Audi comes to the rescue and Audi is giving her the car anyway.
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
Kidding.
Well,
that's a great ending to the story.
Tara Rush, she's the chief marketing officer from Audi. She said that they were thrilled to gift, and Charlene was the lady's name, Charlene Rubush. if I'm pronouncing her last name right. And she
said, practice.
She said, it is the season of giving, and after all, technicality or not, we're always eager to share a bit of Audi magic and cheer.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the average RPM is on that wheel when they spin it?
I don't think they use RPM. They're European, know. So whatever the metric RPM is what they
wait,
do.
Wait, I think he's talking
on
about
wheel of fortune,
the wheel.
Oh, my mistake.
Wheel.
My mistake.
Faster or slower than the wheel they have on the Price is Right? What do you think?
It's slower. Here's the thing about the Price is Right wheel.
More mass.
Well, you'll get these like buff dudes who just like spin that thing super fast.
Yeah.
The wheel doesn't spin that fast on Wheel of Fortune.
You're right.
Good move by Audi because,
oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, they just bought themselves like $1 million of good publicity for price of one vehicle.
Does she have to pay taxes on that?
Oh, I'm sure she'll have to, yes.
That's the other catch.
I'm out. I don't want the car.
Will she have to fill it up with gas?
Hey, thanks for this albatross around my neck,
so
Audi.
You know, Blake, the Audi that she won starts at $35,900.
Oh, well.
So it's up there.
Tax title license.
$35,900?
That's going to kill you.
Can you sell these? So. Because I would, you know, like, imagine showing up to, like, Oprah's favorite things, and you think you're just going to watch a nice Oprah show, and she says, you get a car. Well, okay. You know, I thought I was going to Chicago to watch a taping of the Oprah Winfrey show. Now I've got, like, this tax bill hanging around my neck.
Also,
can you flip those things?
She also had an additional $16,500 in winnings, too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so she can cover the taxes.
Yeah. I melt mine down for scrap metal. She's going to have to pay taxes
on the winnings, too.
That's true.
She's going to have a big tax bill. But
where's that shot at?
It doesn't matter. She got the car. All's well that ends well.
That was a legitimate question, I thought.
Come on. No?
I have so many questions.
Blake's worried about the taxes.
Yeah. Well, hey.
It was a good story.
It's a feel-good story of the season, holiday season.
Dave, you really need to think these feel-good stories out.
And perhaps take some fiscal responsibility lessons from young Blake over there.
Yeah. Apparently.
Next topic.
I don't know about Omicron and staying away from crowded areas, but Spider-Man No Way Home, they just sold $1 billion in box office.
Really?
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
So I guess people are going to the movie theater.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
The first $1 billion movie of the post-pandemic, whatever, since COVID shut everything down.
Yeah. That is great news. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So Marvel does it again. And, you know, you were talking earlier about staying away from different things and how COVID might have changed your Christmas plans or the get-togethers. Apparently, people are going to the movie theater because that movie was only in theaters. I do not think it was available on stream.
No. I'm telling you, it's the best place to go during COVID-19, especially in theaters with giant auditoriums.
Right.
It's all spaced out.
Well, and though that is good news, it's showing things are getting back to normal in one walk of life. I think we're going to see a lot less billion-dollar movies just because you're seeing a lot of movies opening up in theaters and on streaming.
Right.
And I don't know how they make money off the streaming. It's above my pay grade. But that's good to hear. And it's funny. We were talking about this before the show, Rich. You know, these shutdowns have given normal everyday things feelings of nostalgia.
Like,
I go to the movies now. You know, it was a year away from the movies, and now when I go there, I feel like I'm a teenager again.
Right.
And
right.
I like it that much more.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I have to say.
1 hour down, fellas. One to go. We're halfway there. It's the Mitch Albom Show. Thanks for sticking with us. When we come back,
Dave's
going to
take his shirt off.
We're going to be giving something away worth tens of thousands of dollars.
And it's not Dave with his shirt off. That's not worth
that. Who knows? We have an hour left. We'll be back.
It's worth much more.
And we're having a blast doing it.
Dave,
thank you.
Get off my lap, Dave. The show's starting.
All right. What did we tell you? Did you guys watch that HR video? For Pete's sake.
We're having a good time.
By the way, since I have promoted Blake the intern to Blake the grown-up man, he scolded me during the break.
Oh, yeah. I liked that.
Yeah. Blake, what did I do?
You were naughty.
I don't know. What happened?
Oh, you had a problem with what I said right before we went to break.
I don't remember.
All right. You told me.
I have the brain of a cat.
Yeah. I said that we'll be giving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Blake, what are you doing walking out of the studio and having mud come?
Whoa! Listen to this guy's head.
And then screw up my tracks.
Oh, everyone under the bus.
Okay. Okay.
Come on, man.
Okay. This is not.
Come on. This is not.
This was not my aim.
Seriously.
This is what Dave does. Dave makes a mistake, then he finds ways to blame other people.
I don't deserve this.
Yes, we will be giving you, the listener, something very valuable at 6:18. There was some question whether I could put a money value on it. I'm just going to say you're going to want to be listening. We're going to be giving you an opportunity worth a lot of that people pay a lot of money for.
That's true.
And we're going to have our friend Blaine Fowler help us with it. 6:18. Make sure you're listening.
I can't wait.
In the meantime, let's catch people up on what they might have missed celebrating the holidays.
Attorneys for the defendants.
Whoa. Wait, can we use this?
I think so.
Do we have the right?
I asked Kevin.
I don't know. Kevin's going to sue us. Okay. You know, hey, you know what, Blake? It's your funeral. Keep it going. Keep it
going. Beautiful.
Mike Parsons and the News Talk 760 WJR are not liable for any copyright infringement.
Nice which disclaimer, Michael.
Which may have taken place during this music bed. All right, let it ride.
Attorneys for the defendants in the alleged plot to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer are requesting the indictment be dropped for five men charged in the case, arguing that the government orchestrated the plot and entrapped those accused.
Right. So they're saying that the FBI agents, entrapped them because they were, you know, investigating whether these people were, in fact, trying to kidnap the governor. And these defendants are saying that they're the FBI agents were the ones planning it and encouraging them.
And they just went along with it.
Right.
Huh. What an interesting case to make.
I mean, you still could have said no. But, you know, in a court of law, I guess you can't do that as a law enforcement official.
Wow.
And we talked about it last hour. This thing gets weirder and weirder. It's a soap opera.
You mentioned those swingers.
Right.
That was cool.
Right. See, now you're going to be following this closely.
Yes, I will be.
The lead FBI agent.
I have to say, I will, yes.
On this case was taken off the case because he got into some legal trouble after a domestic violence accusation when him and his wife got into an argument after a swingers party.
Yeah, just for the record, I don't like the fact that there was a violence involved.
Right. But you're like the fact there was a swingers party.
I am intrigued
somewhere
by
in the state
swingers
of Michigan.
Party,
right.
Yes.
Disavow the violence.
Correct.
Okay.
Any swingers out there want to give Rich an address, 877-44-MITCH?
He'd be into it, I'm sure.
Dave?
All right, so I'm
going to...
Michael did give me this story that he wanted read in the headlines, but I'm going to switch this up.
What?
And I'm going to change
it. Oh, my God.
And
he's pulling the carpet up.
We're going to have to...
According to CNN right now, the CDC shortens COVID isolation period from 10 days to 5 if people don't have symptoms and continue wearing masks.
Okay. That's cool.
I want to know your thoughts on this.
Mine?
Your thoughts, Michael.
That's
and
breaking
Rich.
News.
And Blake, if you
my thoughts
you
is I want
run.
You to read the damn story I gave. No.
Well, I'm
no good. Good
I'm
choice,
changing
Rich.
It up.
Good choice, Dave. You are a producer by trade, and that's
thank
really shining through right
go.
Now.
That was great.
Yeah, it goes back to what I was saying last hour with all the flight cancellations. I think that people are not going to lock down again. The public doesn't have an appetite for it. Politicians don't have the stomach for it because we're heading into midterms. So far, everything we've heard about the Omicron variant is that it is milder. And I think the pendulum's going to swing the other way. The NFL stopped testing asymptomatic people because they couldn't do business under the current rules. And that seems to be kind of extending itself now to the CDC ruling.
Yeah.
But the question is, if you don't have symptoms and you don't get tested, how are you going to know if you have it to wait the 5 days instead of the 10 days?
That's true.
Well, I mean, there are other scenarios where asymptomatic people get tested. I mean, say someone at your workplace gets it, and if you come in close contact, you might have to.
That's very true.
So,
but you see my point that this not testing of asymptomatic people... Is this a little irresponsible?
I don't know.
It's how much of a watchdog you are, Dave. That's cool.
It's a bit above my pay grade. Like I said, Omicron, there's good news and bad news. The good news about it being mild is that people aren't going to get as sick. They won't have to go to the hospital. There'll be less people dying. The bad news is it's mild, so you could be spreading it without knowing it to people who might have a hard time with it.
So get vaccinated.
Now, what if this is the way that it is from, like, now on? Each new permutation of it is milder and milder until it becomes like a common cold. Would that necessarily be that bad? I don't think so.
No, I mean, as long as it's milder.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If we could get everybody to get vaccinated and boosted, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
Well, hey, I'm pro-vax, too. What can I say? I'm boosted.
So anyway, before I move on to my story, the story Dave threw away is that there are three Republicans from Michigan who are being called in to talk to the January 6th commission. Not really a groundbreaking story.
It's in the trash. He literally threw it away. I see it right now.
Yeah. Well. All right, Dave, way to be a team player. All right, so I'm sure everybody is...
There is an M&E in team, right?
What's that?
There is an M and E in team, right?
It's okay. My turn to read the news, Dave.
Okay.
You guys are all familiar with the Let's Go Brandon phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Let's Go Brandon, it's a stand-in for F-word Joe Biden. What happened back in October, some guy named Brandon Brown won a race, a NASCAR race, and he was being interviewed on NBC. The crowd was chanting F Joe Biden. And the young lady interviewing him either mistakenly by mistake or she was trying to cover up an FCC violation said that the whole crowd was chanting, let's go Brandon. Mm. So whenever you see someone say, let's go Brandon, they're saying blank Joe Biden. So this Brandon Brown guy, I feel bad for him because he's saying that he's having a hard time getting sponsorships because of this.
Mm.
And... You know, he says it's hard for brands to want to attach to somebody who might be divisive.
Sure.
If I'm going to divide Coca-Cola, why would they want to talk to me? He told the Sports Business Journal. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, he hasn't really embraced it. He didn't start it.
Sure.
He's kind of a victim of circumstance, and now he's paying the price.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but I guess Joe Biden was doing this live stream for NORAD Santa Tracker. Which,
did he know he was doing it?
Well, I don't know. I'm about to play you a clip, and it kind of puts that in doubt. But
I can't wait to hear it.
A fella from Oregon named Jared Schmeck was on the live stream with Joe Biden and Joe Biden. It's part of that NORAD Santa Tracker thing.
Mm.
And
that's cool.
And he went on, and they're having a nice conversation, and this is how he ended it.
I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Well, yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Merry
Christmas, and let's go, Brandon.
I don't know if he got cut off. But Joe Biden doesn't know what it means. He goes, I agree.
Oh, does he?
So look, is it childish? Yes. It's funny? Yes. It's what I would have done? No.
That's cute.
But you know what? I regardless of your politics, I appreciate a good Baba Booey.
Sure.
And he got Baba Booey. Well, now this guy's walking it back, saying that it was a joke, and now he's saying I'm being attacked for utilizing my freedom of speech.
Do you guys
have those people on your social media accounts who post something that knows inflammatory, and then they like play the victim after that? I do it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Apparently, no one's got a sense of humor, and my First Amendment right. Yeah, you know what? People are exercising their First Amendment right to tell you that they think you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like sitting behind a computer and talking trash to somebody instead of actually doing it in person.
So look, I mean, here's the thing. You have the stones to do it. Just have the stones to stand behind it. I mean, like I said, regardless of your political affiliation, it was a good troll. And just own it. Don't try to victimize yourself because it doesn't fly. We have to take a quick break. Stay tuned.
We gotta go, Michael.
Because on the other side of the break, our friend Blaine Fowler is going to help us give our listeners something very, very valuable for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mitch Albom
Very
Show.
Exciting.
News Talk 760 WJR.
Nice to be with you. Thank you so much for climbing aboard the SS Fill-In Album here. That's very good, Michael.
Because it's foggy out.
Yeah, I see that. Oh, my goodness, is it ever. You could get lost out there. Everyone, please be careful on the roadways. Anywhere you are now, limited visibility, so please, please, please be careful. Now, nearly everyone I know, folks, has some burning desire to do something else other than their day-to-day job, if they aren't already doing it, that is. And often this manifests itself in the form of a hobby. Somehow you channel that passion into something else. And I know that there's a lot of folks out there who might work at an office during the day, and then at night they play with their band or something like that. So if you have one of these little expressions of creativity, and you'd like to share it with us here on the Mitch Albom Show.
This is what we're giving away for free. Free promotion.
Free promotion. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. 1-877-44-MITCH. It's 1-877-44-MITCH. Tell us about your creative endeavor. We'd love to hear about it. We'd love to promote your website or your YouTube page, whatever it happens to be, your YouTube channel, I should say.
Could be macrame, whatever you're passionate about,
sure.
Whatever you're selling, we are buying.
Your Twitch, if you're, or maybe?
Sure.
Absolutely. Could be little macaroni figures if you make them. His voice can be heard on our sister station every morning on 96.3 WDBD, and now that same voice will grace a new album of music due out at the beginning of February. Blaine Fowler of the Blaine Fowler Morning Show joins us to discuss a creative endeavor and what I imagine was a labor of love. Here's a little bit of it. Looking for adventure anywhere but home. The world was mine. I was free to roam. Didn't have much. Blaine, thanks for joining us on the Album Show to discuss your own little album. I know this isn't the kind of AM you're used to.
We're just
to the morning AM.
We're pulling everyone off vacation
for
the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Seriously?
No kidding.
Blaine,
guys, it's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for reaching out and having me on. I really do appreciate it. And you're absolutely right, Rich. It just started as this is something I've been doing since I was a kid. I've been playing instruments, played drums as a kid, played piano, just enough to know.
Oh, you played piano, too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, but like I said, just enough to know. Show me a C chord. Here's a C chord. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then switch to guitar at some point and bass. And then through radio, I'm exposed to all these different technologies. And I'm just sitting down in my basement writing and recording songs. I'm like, wow, I might as well release them.
Yeah.
You know, what the heck? Why not?
So, Blaine, is this a solo project or is this a group effort with your already somewhat locally famous band, The Blaine Fowler Experience?
No, this is not a BFE production. This is just a B production.
And has this caused tension within the BFE?
That's a good question.
No, the other guys in the BFE know that I'm a control freak because they're in a band with me. And they understand. No, I mean, honestly, I've talked to them about it, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I got like six songs done for the next album. They're like, sweet, do you want to play them? I'm like, let's just keep playing cover because nobody wants to hear my crap.
Right. Well, you know, sneak one in between Two Tickets to Paradise and Fallout Boy.
I have been lucky enough to be at a few functions with Blaine, and where he's done some pretty awesome Kiss karaoke.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah. The new
karaoke's always a good time.
Guy can rock it.
In the new song, and if I say these numbers wrong, feel free to correct me, Blaine. 49783. I'm coming home. You hit a pretty big high note there in the hook.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very impressive.
Now,
and no auto-tune at all, because I don't have this. I won't cancel the software, guys.
Well, and that's why you got to buy this album, so that Blaine can afford auto-tune.
Exactly.
You know,
Absolutely. Help Blaine. Let's start a GoFundMe.
Exactly.
Auto-tune. Come on. Call now.
You know, now, Rich and I were listening through the album, and there are some there are some songs with some personal subject matter on there, and I've got no concept of this because I'm not musical. Is it easier to open up with some things through song than other ways, even though you talk for a living?
I mean, I'm probably the wrong guy to ask because because, like you said, I talk for a living, so I kind of do this every morning. I open up a little bit on the radio. But it makes it it's more therapeutic. I'll say that.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, there's a line in the song 49783, I'm Coming Home, where I talk about my brother who passed away last January. I say, you know, my brother passed, I held his hand. He was always the kind of generous man. I still see that bastard everywhere. And that's something I would say to him if
right.
he were here. I mean, you know, and honestly, every time I hear that line, I get a little choked up.
Sure.
But it's very, very therapeutic and in a very positive way. So I'm blessed to do it.
Blaine, when you sit down to write these songs, a little bit of the process, do you do the music first? Do you do the lyrics first? How does it go together?
Always music. And honestly, when I write a song, it's usually I'm goofing around waiting for my computer to do what it's supposed to do. I'm holding a guitar, and then I come up with like a little lick or a riff or something. I'm like, hey, as soon as this stupid computer fires up, I'm going to record this. Because I don't want to forget it, and that's what I tend to do. I tend to record right away that which I'm writing,
gotcha.
So I don't lose it. And then it ends up becoming that. You know what I mean? It becomes that song.
Yeah.
Like I think, that song that we just played the clip from 49783, which by the way is the zip code for Sault Ste. Marie. That song is like that was done in one day. It was written. Produced
wow.
the whole shebang.
Holy
and
cow!
Then, yeah, you get on a roll and you can't stop.
Well, you don't want to.
You don't want to lose it.
The album is called Waters of the World. It's out February 2nd. Is that correct, Blaine?
February 1st. Yeah.
Oh, February 1st. Okay, great. Even earlier.
Yeah.
Blaine, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Blaine, real quick,
where can we
find that?
Anywhere you buy digital music.
There you go.
Awesome.
You can't miss it. All right, Blaine.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks for taking some time out of your vacation here. And this topic is doing pretty well here on the phone. You know, Blake, we're going to put this in your hands. Who should we go to first here?
Peggy.
Peggy.
All right.
Peggy, what's your side hustle, 877-44 Mitch?
Hi, my side gig is children's face painting.
Oh.
I telecommunications for 38 years, and art was my love and my passion, I guess you could say. My youngest daughter at the time was in children's theater, and I would volunteer to do their stage makeup, set painting, and things like that. That morphed into someone asking me, would you try children's face painting?
Huh.
I did. I learned more. I took training, and 18 years later, morphed into PegFX face painting. I'm in Allen Park. But with the virus and all of that going on, that kind of took a little rest. And that morphed into window painting.
Ooh.
Wow. Somebody asked me, have you ever tried that? And I hadn't.
You're so versatile.
And I did windows for, you know, the holidays.
Peggy, we got 10 seconds. What's the most asked for thing when it comes to
Spider-Man.
Face painting?
Oh,
well, you know what? We're going to get her info. Next time we're on, if that happens ever again, we're going to do the entire show as Spider-Man and Kiss.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to paint a couple of cat whiskers on Dave's face as we go to break
here. Yeah, please don't.
Can't wait.
Thanks.
We'll be right back. All right. We spoke with Blaine Fowler last segment about his side hustle coming out with a album in February 1st, Waters of the World. And we wanted to know, what's your side hustle? We are here on the Mitch Albom Show filling in, giving you, the listener, a holiday present, a Christmas present, if you will, a free promotion.
Wow.
This may be the first and last time we do the show. Let's go out to Walt. Walt, what is your side hustle that you wish was your real job?
Hello, my name is Walt, and I entertain, and I specialize in doing an Elvis tribute.
Wow. So I am so fascinated with Elvis impersonators. Number one, how do you get into that line of work?
I was raised on it. My dad just passed last December, but he was 80 years old. So he was, right in the thick of Elvis and the doo-wop era. And I was just raised on his music, and Elvis stuck. And I just had this dream of doing Elvis. And you said impersonator, and that's the way it started out, but I've kind of like became a tribute. I think a impersonation is a guy that pretends and acts like.
Well, I apologize. Is impersonator like a pejorative? Is that a term I shouldn't use?
No, it's you know, big sideburns and right. and pompadour and jumpsuit.
Or I prefer you not Elvis, use that term.
So Walt, I want to know which Elvis are you?
Oh, good question.
Like, because there was a lot of different Elvises, you know, in his time. So which one do you portray?
Well, I'm 56 years old, so that kind of like wipes out the young Elvis for me.
so you're the older Elvis, later on, with the shows in Vegas and not the early Elvis with the movies and everything.
Right, the jumpsuit era.
Right. Got it. Gotcha. Okay.
So what kind of gigs do you play? I mean, are you hired for parties? Do you play like local like concerts and festivals?
All the above. I mean, I do anything from private events to huge. We did the MGM outside of Cleveland. Located,
wow,
you know, close to Sandusky. My wife listens to Mitch all the time, so she's got him on in the in the kitchen on the radio all the time when she's doing dishes and whatnot. So,
and then today you're stuck with us.
Right.
She told me, hey, call this number.
All right. Hey, and Walt, I hate to put you on the spot here, but could you, you know, feel free to give out your website or social media, but can you do it as Elvis?
Well, I can do it even better because I was lucky enough to get a website that goes along with what we call our show. We call our show One Night With You, so... So I have always had my – I have a 11-piece band, or I do it as a one man. So my website is onenightwithyou.net.
Thank you for the call. Blake,
oh, my goodness.
Put on a tape from earlier.
Nothing's going to top that.
No. You go out on a high note. Nothing we do for the next 20 minutes is going to be anywhere near as good as that.
Thank you, Walt.
All right. If you have a side hustle that you wish was your real job, feel free to call. We'll get back to those. But have another question for people out there at 877-44-MITCH. And for Dave and Rich and Blake, if you have one, feel free to chime in. Of all the big news stories in 2021, which ones do you think were the most impactful? The two for me are obvious. And of course, they're both tragic. Of course, the Oxford shooting was one of the most impactful stories of 2021 to me. Not only because, it's one of those things you see on the news and it feels like it's, you know, far, far away. And it came to our Metro Detroit community. And we're going to be hearing a lot about that, especially once the trial starts. But, you know, just the ripple effect that it had. Afterwards, I mean, the shooting itself was bad enough and the terror and, you know, the mourning of the community. But then you had all these copycats.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's fallout to stories like this that you don't realize until it happens close to home. And I feel when it comes to shocking the consciousness and kind of changing the way we live and looking at things, I think locally, to me, that was probably the most impactful story of 2021. Obviously, January 6th was very impactful because, you know, as we've reported with multiple stories, we're still feeling the ripple effects of that. And then one I feel was big but has kind of been swept under the rug and just kind of, I don't know, overtaken by other things in the news cycle. Simone Biles, when she pulled out of the Tokyo Olympics, a lot of people were baffled. They were shocked because she was the greatest of all time. You know, she was a killer cyborg in the last Olympics, and she pulled out and said it was because of her mental health. And, of course, there's a lot of speculation. There is a lot of talking heads trying to give analysis. And then there was a reason that she later went on to explain being one of the factors in her pulling out and her having a hard time with her mental game. And we didn't really, this kind of went over our heads when it happened. But if you guys remember, In September, there was a congressional committee that had the victims of Larry Nassar testifying in front of them, and they're talking about the completely botched FBI investigation and all that. And in that testimony, Simone Biles said that the abuse that she suffered at the hands of Larry Nassar was one of the major factors of her, you know, having troubles with her mental health, for lack of a better word, in the Tokyo Olympics, and you know, threw off her mental game and made her feel like she couldn't compete. And I was just watching them, like a light bulb went. It's like, yeah, of course, you know, there's all these.
Right,
most people, when she pulled out, they were very sympathetic and very supportive. And then there were people who weren't. And I don't even think that was in like the back of their head. And it just kind of goes to show you that athletes are human, that your actions towards people have consequences and have huge ripple effects.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. And if you look at one all-encompassing theme that runs through all three of those stories, it's mental health. Mm-hmm. So you think of the gun person in that
at Oxford.
At Oxford,
yep.
He suffered mental health issues. You think of certainly those folks. Anything that persuades you to try and overtake the Capitol, mm-hmm. I would submit that you have some mental health issues. And I think the recognition of that, the recognition of mental health, instead of being something that, as you say, has gotten swept under the rug over the years and has been neglected, we're starting to see more action on that.
Yeah.
We're starting to see more people care about that. And it's my hope that someday insurance companies and other institutions who deal with medicine will be able to acknowledge that and recognize it and cut people the same kind of break that they do with somebody who has a broken leg.
Right.
Or a car accident or something like that.
Well, and Rich, I mean, that observation you made, that didn't even dawn on me that there's this mental health thread kind of going throughout, you know, all these stories that I found to be the most impactful. And those are just a few. I have a longer list, but those
sure.
were just my top three. And I think we are making progress. I feel like, going back to Simone Biles, after she said that, hey, look, my head's not where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, she said part of the struggle she was having with her mental health, she wasn't able to know where she was twirling in the air, which could be very dangerous. And then
disorienting. Yes.
And then after she was the first one to come forward and say, look, you know, my head is my head and my heart and my mental health are not where they should be. You had other athletes coming out and saying,
yeah.
"Oh yeah, I've battled this."
Yeah, there's your impact.
Yeah.
Right there.
And
for the better, I
yeah.
think.
And you know, it's a shame that it takes somebody at the top of their profession or the top of what they do to come out and say, "I'm having struggles with this," to get other people to come out and say that they feel it too. But that's why it's important to you know, to be as open and honest as you can and open as honest as you feel comfortable being.
Well, for her to have even done that is probably, well, I don't know if it's fair to say because I'm not her, mm-hmm. so I'm not in her mindset, but she probably gathered strength from the other people who came forward about
right.
Nassar.
Right.
And that in itself was an impactful
It had
thing.
To have been very validating because I'm sure that it was a very scary thing to get all the way to the Tokyo Olympics and literally the whole world is watching you saying, she's gonna break all these records.
Right.
So she probably felt like she was letting a lot of people down, and for people to have her back like that was probably very validating.
Mm-hmm.
Late to the break, 877-44-MITCH, 877-44-MITCH, talking about the big news stories that you thought were the most impactful for 2021. Also, talking about your side hustles. If you have something you want to promote in honor of our friend Blaine Fowler's upcoming album, you can call in on that, 877-44-MITCH. And we got Dave's stack of stuff, still a lot to do in this final segment. It's the Mitch Album Show. Mike Parsons, Rich Luzinski, Dave Rieger, and Blake Matrizak. News Talk 760 WJR. A lot to do. So little time. Let's get right back to the phones. We talked to Blaine Fowler early on about the album he's putting out, and we want to know what your side hustle is. Matt, what's your side hustle?
Hey, is this Mitch album?
well, today we are, there's three of us playing the parts of Mitch album. My Christian name is Mike.
Mike, this is Matt from Ferndale, and my side hustle is improvised comedy.
Really?
There was a little bit of that now.
A little bit, yeah. That's a taste of all of my glory.
Wow. So, thanks for calling, Matt. So not just music, but improv comedy as well. Were you bored with music? You were bored with improv, so you decided to put them together to challenge yourself. How did you evolve into that, Matt from Ferndale?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, one thing leads to another. And once you're on a stage doing stuff that you've rehearsed, the next logical step is to do stuff on a stage that you haven't rehearsed.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you're doing improv, you have to be pretty locked in with somebody else. I mean, if you're doing improv with someone who doesn't know what they're doing, that's got to be kind of brutal, doesn't it?
Well, here's the thing. It's not really being locked in. It's being flexible and responding to whatever the other person does. And actually doing improv with someone like very inexperienced can be a lot of fun and kind of like a learning experience.
Sure.
Now, the improv community, because there's a huge improv community here in Detroit. You got what?
Sure.
You got Go Improv in Ferndale. You got Planet Ant. I'm sure there's other big ones that I'm missing here. But is the improv scene, is it competitive or is it tight knit?
Oh, that depends on who you ask.
I'm asking you.
I would say it's a little bit of both. I guess you should ask me. Here I am. It's a little bit of both, I would say. Like there's so many spots on home teams and launch groups and all of that kind of thing. But it is all because of like the art form compared to other forms of comedy, like stand up, for instance. Like you kind of have to be on good terms with people because you could be doing stuff with them at any point. So there is like some competitiveness for the slots, which are, you know, there's few like prestige spots in improv. But in general, like it's still a collaborative scene. Yeah.
Is this kind of like the Whose Line Is It Anyway TV show type stuff? No.
The improv that I mean, there is some of that. Yes, that is an example of improv. Go Comedy in Ferndale does a lot of that on Friday and Saturday nights. But there's also a version of improv that looks more like sketch comedy, like SNL. Kids in the Hall.
Okay.
Well, I'll
but there's no script, so it's people kind of making up characters and plots in real time with each other.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt. If you need someone to do Elvis for your improv, we've got a guy for you. go ahead and plug.
It just so happens that I'm doing a show at Planet Ant every single Thursday night, and it's called Ants in the Hall. And it's sort of a kind of scripted, kind of improvised variety show, where we're going to have stand-ups and musical guests and character bits, maybe magicians. So,
ooh.
Elvis, we should get in touch, you know?
Go on down, Elvis. That Matt told you where you need to be. Is that a takeoff on Kids in the Hall?
Of course it is, yeah. But it's also a play on the fact that we are performing in Ant Hall at Hamtramck. Planet Ant Complex.
Canadian humor is about as British as I want my humor to be, so I'm a big fan. All right, Matt,
they still spell color incorrectly, but like,
yeah,
they still look like Americans.
Yeah. Well, in that case, they're dead to me. All right, Matt, if you have anything else to plug, the next 15 seconds are yours.
To just piggyback on what you were saying about mental health, I just got back from my psychiatrist where he gave me new pills for anti-depression and also for the other one that I take for mania. And everybody should be cool about it. Just take drugs and go talk to people if you're unwell.
Yeah. Drop the stigma. If this was serious satellite radio, I would say F the stigma. Maybe that would be our
sure.
Geez, Matt just ran the gamut. And I think I know who Matt is. He's an old friend of ours. Dave, we talked earlier.
I think I even recognized who Matt was.
Wow.
I'm going to bring a can of Raid to that little ant thing.
You should, right. Right, the cops trying to bust it up. That's what they do.
They just spray the stage.
So, Dave, you've got some breaking news about New Year's Eve.
Yeah, interesting story. Obviously, people, when they think of New Year's Eve, they think of the ball dropping at Times Square in New York. Well, I found this story that apparently around the United States, there are other items that drop besides the ball. For instance, if you're in Miami,
Pitbull drops.
They have a 30-foot, 2,000-pound neon sign depicting a sunglass-wearing orange.
Wow.
That will be.
That sounds
be,
like a sponsorship opportunity.
Cool. And then in Georgia, they're going to be a giant peach.
Okay. I was going to guess that.
Pennsylvania has.
An Amish.
They have three different kinds. They have a.
Wow, three.
The Liberty Bells could
in
drop.
In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a 400-pound peep.
Like
the candy.
Like the horrible candy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The polarizing Easter candy.
In Lebanon, Pennsylvania, a 12-foot, 200-pound custom-made piece of bologna. All right.
Must be a big export from
then
there.
Then in Hershey, yep, you guessed it, a 300-pound aluminum replica of a kiss, a Hershey's kiss.
Wow.
What would Michigan drop?
Michigan, funny you ask.
Oh,
Flame Fowler's new album in February 1st.
In Traverse City.
Just in time for Groundhog's Day.
A giant cherry.
Yep, that would make sense.
Yes.
I was going to guess an apple.
But I think Michael's favorite
was
the
Cadillac.
In Raleigh, North Carolina, a 10-foot tall, 1,250-pound acorn made of copper and steel.
Wow. This sounds like it's just rife with danger and potential disaster.
I mean, in other places, different things are going to be dropping besides the ball in Times Square.
Right.
So there you go. So Idaho, a potato.
If I had a choice, I'd go to the bologna drop, I guess, if I had to pick one.
Okay. Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get out of here, there is this woman named Annie Bond. She is a waitress at an L.A. hotspot, and she dropped a TikTok.
Speaking of dropping.
Yeah, right. She dropped a TikTok for the new year talking about which celebrities were good customers and which weren't. I was going to give you some names real quick before you get out of here. Lady Gaga, do you think she was a good customer or was she rude?
Good customer.
Good customer.
Yep. She gets a 5 star out of 10. She called her a goddess. What about Ryan Gosling? Would he be a good customer or a jerk?
He was kind of a jerk.
It turns out, at least in this waitress's experience, Ryan Gosling and Ava Mendez, she called them so casual, so gorgeous, so polite. 11
wow.
out of 10.
How
he
nice.
Seems like the best person ever.
Ryan Gosling.
I love
that's
Ryan
just because he's handsome.
Yeah,
I'd like to see you two together.
The only person she said was a jerk was Judd Apatow and
I could see that.
And his actress wife Leslie Mann. So,
really?
Yeah. Well, that's all we can tell you for now. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We had a blast. Thanks to Blake and management and everyone. Bye.